If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
162 games of baseball a season can feel like a grind to watch, but you can put the excitement back into each and every game with MyBookie. Run lines, money lines, props galore. Nobody gives you more opportunities to win than MyBookie. Getting started is simple. Deposit $300 and play with $200 instantly. Just use promo code ZABE to claim a MyBookie deposit bonus. Whether you're a diehard fan or a newcomer to the sport, there's never been a better time to join the MyBookie family. Go ahead and sign up today using promo code ZABE to secure your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 with MyBookie. Whatever you put in, they'll meet halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course. Why wouldn't I?
Oh, I hate him also. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Go on.
That's how Jay rolled into the car dealership this week saying, do I look like a bitch? And they said, sir, this is a Wendy's. Actually, no, they said, sir, you have no idea what cars are going for these days. How did you make out in buying a new vehicle? And what do you got?
Who you at? Where you at? What you driving?
Where you at? What you driving? I got a new car. You got a new car. Talk to me.
I am driving a Honda CRZ.
CRZ.
Hybrid.
Oh, look at you. Smart.
Yes.
With gas going to the moon and showing no signs of coming down.
I'll let it hit the post. No, because I was in the deal. So here's what happened. So I went Saturday to peruse, and that's when I texted you. I was on a test drive, and the guy who was trying to sell me literally fell asleep while on the test drive. I looked over Zaven, and he was mouth open, head back.
Unbelievable. Can you describe this gentleman, this narcoleptic? White guy, black guy?
Black guy, about 5'3".
Over 30, under 50.
Under 30. Under 30.
20 pounds overweight or 20 pounds underweight?
In shape kind of dude, but just had no personality whatsoever. So
did he actually recline his front seat?
No, he didn't. No, because because he was like, do you know where you want to go? And the dealership is like 5 minutes from the house. I was like, yeah, I know where I want to go.
Okay.
And I'm driving, not saying anything. And I look over and he's dead asleep. So we go back and I go, well, I'll be back tomorrow. Now, from what I've heard, car salesmen hate to hear that I'll be back tomorrow because they don't think I'll be back.
Nobody does come back. You got to sell today. Right. I got to eat today. I got to pay my mortgage today. Not tomorrow, today.
Well, I came back the next day at about 3. And the night before, the lovely teacher X, Mrs. Cottrell, and I, we were perusing, and I saw the hybrid, and I was like, well, I got to get this. Plus, I had like an $8,000 trade in, too.
Okay.
So I was like, I think I'm going to come out good. Anyway. So
what did you trade in?
The Toyota Camry.
Oh. So I get into a Camry. You get out of a Camry.
Right.
Circle of life.
And my first car was a CRX. The CRZ is the third generation of the CRX. But it's a nice car.
No, it's nice. Like, yeah, it's got 1.5 like liter, 16 valve VTEC engine. Something. That's in the standard. Yeah. The electric's got a DC brushless motor. Produces 10 kilowatt of hour, 14 horsepower, and electric only. 58 pound foot torque at 1,000 RPM. 6-speed manual. You didn't get a manual. You got an automatic, right?
Got automatic.
Of course, yes. Nobody gets manual these days.
No, not anymore.
And it's a 2-door hatchback.
Yep.
So you, your girl, and a lunch. That's all you need room for.
That's all. Exactly. And maybe one dog.
And your dog Cujo in the back.
Maybe one can get in. Not both.
Okay. All right.
One.
So the guy fell asleep, but was he snoring?
Okay. Now I'd like to go into your story.
Okay.
No, he wasn't snoring. Okay. Go.
My story is the guy that plopped down next to me and my dad in a crowded theater on Saturday night to watch Top Gun Maverick fell asleep so hard in those fat-ass recliners that he was snoring loud enough the entire theater heard him through all the explosion scenes, through the quiet parts of the end. Last hour of the movie. The guts of the movie ruined by this guy who had no wife, no girlfriend, no buddy, no father of his own to, like, you know, say, hey, wake up. Now, you might say, why didn't I wake him up? Well,
it's not your place.
I'm like, you know what? I don't want to touch this fuckhead because who knows what could happen once I dare to touch him, right? You assaulted me or who knows what, right? Plus, he was coughing up a lung prior to falling asleep. So I didn't want his germs, even though I was next to him. I was just pissed off. I was like, God damn, these people, who the fuck does this? And I sent you a picture of the guy. And it's like the dictionary definition of most likely to fall asleep by himself, snore like a banshee, and ruin a fucking movie on the caption.
Yeah, but it's not your place to say anything. I would have, you know what? I would have pulled out my Karen card and gotten the manager.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I could have gone all the way down. I would have to go to the front desk, tell the manager what's going on. She would have to leave her post. You know, the theaters run so lean nowadays with staffing. It's ridiculous, right? It's like four kids in the whole place. So the days of actual ushers with their flashlights,
are long gone.
That's the stuff of yesteryore. You and I remember that as teenagers growing up. Where I remember once we snuck in a couple bottles of beer to a darkened theater, and one of us tipped one of the bottles over, and you could hear it go clink, 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 clink. And there was a buzz from a couple rows before us, and before you knew it, here comes the usher with his flashlight. I'm like,
I help you too?
Who the fuck ratted us out? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Of course, there were times in which we'd go to the multiplex in Tyson's Corner, in which we would just go from one theater to the next. We'd spend all afternoon hopping from theater to theater, catching one movie, going through the back ways. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, so what would be the appropriate penalty for a dickwad like that?
A kick in the fellas.
Okay. How about a 44 ounce sticky sugar soda poured all over him to wake him up?
That would have been, or hot coffee.
Well, hot coffee could injure him.
Injure me while watching a movie, buddy. Sorry.
Anyway, have you seen Top Gun Maverick?
Now, we were supposed to go see it Sunday and
sold out?
No, the future ex, Mrs. Cottrell, went to church, and when she came back, I said, I'm going to the dealership. I forgot that buying a car is like a 9-hour odyssey.
Well, it can be, yeah.
You're never in and out. I should have been in and out, but it took like 4 hours.
4 hours?
Was it 4 hours, honey? Am I right about that? Yeah. Thank you.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you had the car picked out.
And yes.
Okay, so there's no dickering over that. There was no.
No.
Okay. So it was just literally they had to make sure the car would get prepped. We're going to set it back to detailing, make sure it's cleaned up for you. We got to get the paperwork, financing, ups and extras, undercoating, clear coating, extended warranty, and blah, blah.
That clear coat that comes right from the factory.
Lundegaard, exactly. That's right. You get that oxidation under there. You don't want that.
But no, I'm happy. I've never purchased a car and not felt good about it as I left.
Well, good. So, because new cars are fun to have. They're exciting. They feel different, you know? It's like sex with a different woman that you're allowed to have. And then, like sex with a different woman, it becomes sort of routine, and you get tired of it.
Never.
Never. You can't do this podcast sitting next to your girl. It's going to affect your game, brother. It's going to take some of the steam out of your takes. All right, so you haven't seen it yet. Are you going to see it?
Yes. Okay. Well, this weekend I'm going to see my dad because it's Father's Day coming. Next weekend.
Anyway, it's great that there's at least one good movie worth going to the theater to see. With the big explosions and the sound effects and everything else, as long as there's not some sleestack who falls asleep next to you. So
at least it's not a comic book movie. I'm all stocked up on those. Thank you.
Right. So there's one movie we're gonna have this summer. We can go, hey, that was a movie. I take you back to 1986, Jay.
Ooh.
A year in which Top Gun, the original, came out and was the highest grossing film of the year. At $176 million in 1986, which translated to today would be who knows what. It was better than the second place movie that year, Crocodile Dundee.
Oh my God, that movie was a piece of shit.
At $116 million.
Crocodile Dundee made $106. We were a dumb society in 1986.
Okay. Here was number three, Karate Kid Part 2, the much-awaited sequel to the original blockbuster. So already we've got some strong movies out of the gate in 86. Number four, Back to School, starring Rodney Dangerfield.
I think I saw that in the theater.
Yeah, a comedy made $91 million in the theaters. At number five, a new James Cameron sci-fi horror movie, Aliens, the original, made Sigourney Weaver a household name. At number six, The Color Purple by Steven Spielberg.
Saw that in the theater.
Whoopi Goldberg, Danny Glover, a bunch of others. Oprah Winfrey was in that as well.
Yes.
I did not see that. Can you summarize it for me? It's about black folks.
Black woman gets wrong. Black woman has a revenge. There you go.
Boom. Color Purple.
Color Purple. The end.
Number seven was Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Yeah, so that's the franchise was cooking at that point. Eight was Ruthless People.
Oh, great fucking movie.
Danny DeVito, yeah. Bette Midler, yes. Judge Reinhold, and others.
Slater.
Helen Slater.
No. Helen Slater, not Kurt Stacey's sister. Yeah. Just Helen Slater.
Helen Slater was in that as well. Number nine, Out of Africa. Robert Redford, Meryl Streep, two iconic actors, and a very serious movie. And number 10 was Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Saw that in the theater. Yes.
Another John Hughes coming-of-age classic. That's the top 10. Look at that, Jay. Look at the cornucopia of filmmaking and storytelling and the variety in the genres. An action military movie in Top Gun. A franchise in Karate Kid. A new comedy in Back to School that was untried, that was an original concept. Same thing for a sci-fi terror movie in Aliens. A serious movie in The Color Purple. Another one in Out of Africa. A silly movie in Ferris Bueller. Those were just the top 10. Dig a little deeper. You know what else came out in 86 and briefly?
Oh, wait a minute.
Touched number one, but didn't finish top 10. A little movie called Pretty in Pink.
another movie that I say, no, there's, okay, I'm looking at the list. There are three movies that if I had a movie show, I say three movies you have to see. Running Scared, Billy Crystal,
and
Gregory Hines.
That's
the money pit.
The money pit. But hold on, let me get to the big ones. Pretty in Pink was number one in March of that year. Rocky IV, which I thought was awesome, was number one to start the year. You didn't like Rocky IV quite as much?
No, I loved Rocky IV. Saw in the theater. Another one I saw that I will never forget.
Okay,
Rocky IV. When Apollo died, there was a guy in the theater who yelled, "Go get a rock!" like it was real. I will never forget that. Never forget that.
In August, a new sci-fi horror movie no one had ever seen before, with starring a guy named Jeff Goldblum, The Fly, debuted at number one. Yeah, I think I just go ahead and set this here. And I
look at these fucking movies. A movie, another movie I saw in the theater, The Three Amigos.
Yes, indeed. How about Gung Ho? Starring Michael Keaton as the line worker in an automobile plant being taken over by the Japanese, where the legendary line during a softball game between management and workers was meant to bring them together, and they're taking a piss after drinking beers, and Michael Keaton says, "We piss for distance," and the Japanese management says, "We piss for accuracy."
For a minute, let me let the youngsters sit up on Uncle Stevie and Uncle Jay's lap for a second.
Okay.
There was a time where Michael Keaton was ahead of Tom Hanks.
He was up there.
That was real.
He was up there.
Yes.
More range, I think, than Hanks. Was able to play darker, characters.
Yes.
And was tabbed for the Batman movies.
He was in Night Shift, an iconic God, this Billy Blazejowski is an iconic character.
So, in other words, we have Top Gun again after 36 years apart.
Yes.
And it's unbelievable shit, the landscape that is movies today. And you can fall asleep in an oversized lounger because America's fat and irredeemably stupid and lazy and unaccountable and ruin the movie for everyone else. And this is pretty much this and a warmed over Jurassic Park with a metric ton of CGI that looks as fake as a $3 bill is your only other movie to look forward to this summer. Have a nice summer, movie fans. You got shit.
Well, by the way, there's a movie that came in at number 57.
You're still thinking of this.
Song of the South.
It's a cartoon.
You cannot even take that to a... Okay, here's the pitch. It's a movie about the wonderfulness of slavery. We've got black people singing, birds chirping. What do you think?
See, they like the work.
By the way...
They like the fresh air. It's not so bad.
But that movie's so racist. Disney put it in the double sealed vault. You can never see that movie. It gave us the tune Zippity Doo Dah, but you can never see that movie ever again.
Oh God. All right. Let's move on, shall we? So this Deshaun Watson thing is getting dicier by the day.
This is so Brownsy. It's great.
Well, it's dual layered. The layer one is Deshaun himself, who I foolishly thought maybe I was under Dabo Swinney's spell. One of your favorite college coaches, Jay.
Yeah, he hates the guy. Oh, that's right.
One of the guys you hate the most.
Yes.
Maybe I was under his spell. Maybe I was under the delusion that he stayed all 4 years. I'm like, this guy's got his act together. This guy's a winner. This guy's focused on his career. Well, sorta. He was also focused on basically getting sex from massage therapists he found on Instagram. Which, look, batting average-wise, word is, there's a report today that said he had like 68 different known massage therapists during his days in Houston. You look at it from an average standpoint, hey, only 24 have sued him. So that's not terrible, right? he was getting away with it most of the time, but the sheer law of numbers, Jay, said he was going to run into a quite more than a few of them who would be like, no, I don't want to see a jack off in front of me. What's wrong with you?
This again, there's just so many layers to do to, like Louis C.K.
Well, Louis C.K. was weird, but he did that in front of a couple of the female comedians who did not run out of the room screaming at the time, so he thought, okay, maybe it's not that bad.
At what point do you go, this is socially acceptable?
It depends on your circles. I don't think it's ever acceptable, I think.
No, it isn't. That's my point. It's never.
Right. It's never. Well, I mean, one-on-one, two consenting adults, I guess. I mean, you know, it's uncomfortable because your girlfriend's sitting in the room right now.
Uncomfortable. I'm just going to jerk off in front of you. There you go.
Yeah, right. So here's a question. What do the Browns do? What does the NFL do? Because the NFL was like finally saying, okay, this thing has settled down a bit. He's not going to be criminally charged. Looks like there's no more rain on the radar screen. So we're going to let this pipe down as the dead June, July months come, and then we'll, boom, issue our suspension, which everyone assumes will come, and they'll serve it, they'll get by it, and this will all finally float down the river. And then it's like, what? Two more lost, son of a bitch! What's the NFL going to do?
Let's look at this logically. What's the most the NFL, what's the longest time the NFL has given someone for doing anything?
Longest suspension in NFL history.
How long was Paul Hornung and Alex Karras? Was that a year?
Were they still in the league?
Yeah, they were still in the league.
Okay. Let's see. Ranker.com. Longest suspensions in NFL history. Number one, Merle Hapes, 1947, got a lifetime ban. This for accepting bribes to fix the 46th NFL championship.
Okay. Well, we throw that one out because, okay.
Ray Carruth got an indefinite ban from the NFL.
He paid somebody
to murder his girlfriend.
Van Brett Watkins was his name.
Oh my God. How do you remember that shit?
There's certain names you just don't forget.
Oh God, yeah. The baby lived, but mom died in the hail of bullets from a car that was following her home from
baby
I think
just graduated college.
Yeah. Fran Flitchock got a lifetime ban in 47 as well. He too was in on the bribes to fix that 46 NFL title game. Michael Vick, indefinite ban, but was reinstated after 2 years and doing time. Plaxico got 2 years for shooting himself in the leg. Dante Stallworth missed a season for running over a guy and killing him while drunk in Miami. Pac-Man Jones got a whole season following the altercation at the strip club, in which turned into a shooting out front.
By the way, I went to that strip club once.
Yes. Alex, congratulations. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Alex Karras got the whole season for gambling on games.
All right, here we go.
With the Lions in 1963.
Paul Hornung got a whole season suspended
for the entire season as well. Art Schleister got a full season for betting on games in 83. Myles Garrett got a indefinite suspension, but then that was reduced, so I'm not sure how many games it turned out to be. Adrian Peterson got 15 games effectively, but got paid while he was in the commissioner's parking lot. Vontaze Burfict got 12 games for repeated violations of jacking people up with missile hits. Jeff George got 13 games for getting into an argument with June Jones.
All right, we can stop it right there.
I think we're good. We've probed it right there. Deshaun Watson's going to get what?
10 games. Ten games.
Okay. So then what happens to Baker Mayfield? Does he play those 10 games?
That's Cleveland's problem.
Do they say to Baker, yeah, hey, man.
Remember that time?
I know you feel sort of like you haven't been appreciated for playing with a torn up shoulder and other injuries and playing really hard for us. And we were going to move on and we're going to trade you, but we didn't really find any takers. And, well, the offseason kind of got away from us. You're still here. We could kind of use you.
Yeah, our
for
bad.
This season. What do you think Baker Mayfield's response was? Here, you play the role of Baker Mayfield. Go.
Go fuck yourself. Trade me.
Some variation of that. Like,
yeah, right, right. Yeah. Or, I hate putting words in his mouth, but you get the gist.
What if it's a really sarcastic, fake concern response where Baker's like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's wait. That sounds like a problem. Well, geez.
Huh. You don't say.
Wow. Huh. You guys are in a real bind, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I don't know.
Bad luck.
I don't know. I can't help you. I know that much because I've moved on. But good luck to you guys.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yes, that's right. Enjoy your new quarterback and his guaranteed contract. Yeah, it's looking like the Brownsiest thing ever.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, my voice is starting to crack here. Not very good.
Allergies also?
It might be. I'm not entirely sure.
I got the allergy cough now, which is the worst.
Okay. Question. What are your thoughts on the defections to the LIV tour of Mickelson and Dustin Johnson for outrageous sums of money, and the report that Tiger Woods was offered a high 9-figure offer to do the same, something approaching $1 billion?
At first, I wanted to turn my nose and poo-poo them. And then I said, well, wait a minute, isn't the NBA like in bed with China, who is just as bad? So
arguably worse.
So what do I got to be angry about that for? So
yes, I'm not angry. People think that I, just because I think the league is a joke and it's going to fall apart in a couple of years, and that, you know, Dustin Johnson, who's 37 and former world number one, who should be grinding to win more majors, and, you know, he's going to play the majors. That's the thing. These guys say, well, you know, like, he's going to play the majors. He's a Masters champ, presumably lifetime exemption, although we'll see if the Masters decides to throw in with the tour and not let a guy like Dustin Johnson play. That'd be pretty radical. He's going to play in the U.S. Open. My point is, guys like Dustin Johnson are going to this tour to take the money because they can't compete like they once did with the regular tour. So what makes anyone think they're going to be factors in majors? They're playing in essentially a beer league, Jay, for an insane amount of money, and then they're going to go be great? I mean, steel sharpens steel. You got to be focused and grinding. Dustin Johnson, with no drug testing over in Europe, is not going to grind against 48-man fields that basically have nobody in it other than 40-year-old washed-ups like Graham McDowell, Ian Poulter, and guys you've never heard of like Jinichiro Kozuma. No offense to Mr. Kozuma. I hear he's got a sick short game.
I just say make your money.
Yeah, go well, ahead. They're going to make their money, and they're going to do it. And the, you know, and then it's going to end, and then what's going to happen after that? Maybe the tour lets them back in. I don't know. But it's
going to be like the guys who ran to the World Football League. Now what?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, there's been a lot of examples of that. It reminds me, though, when it comes to money, even if you have $100 million in the bank, which I would bet Dustin Johnson does from earnings and from endorsements, if you have $100 million, you could always have more, right?
That's true.
Reminds me of Wall Street. Another great movie. Was it 88 that Wall Street came out? Martin Sheen with Charlie Sheen in it as well. Did you see Wall Street?
Yes.
Gordon Gekko with the giant cell phone on the beach that was meant to show how rich he was, and it was the size of
him.
It was like the size of an army comms unit, you know? Oh, you got a cell phone on the beach. Look how rich you are. This was my favorite scene of all between Charlie Sheen's character and his dad.
He's got your prick in his back pocket, but you're too blind to see it.
No. What I see is a jealous old machinist who can't stand the fact that his son's become more successful than he has.
What you see is a guy who never measured a man's success by the size of his wallet.
That's because you never had the guts to go out into the world and stake your own claim.
By the size of his wallet!
87.
87. How about that? So, yeah, I mean, how much money would you realistically want? All of it, if you could?
I was going to say every goddamn cent.
And what would you do with it beyond, say, $50 million? Who are you going to give it to? You don't have kids yet.
Well,
when are you going to have a family, Jay?
Can
I be the hectoring mother of the podcast? Can I speak for the listeners to go, why doesn't Jay want a family?
Too selfish. No, I would definitely spread it out amongst family.
Okay.
And then a nice tax shelter of somehow. Maybe get a good nonprofit.
Okay. To do what? So you're going to get a tax shelter. And then you're going to what? What are you going to do with the money, Jay? You have the money. What are you going to do with it?
I would then do like the scene from Breaking Bad and just lay on top of it.
You'd be like Scrooge McDuck. You'll be diving into it from a diving board in a vault with gold coins. I'm rich. Yes. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. Do you know who, by the way, is going to be one of the opening artist acts at the LIV tournament? Jesse J. Do you know what one of Jesse J's hit songs is? Price Tag. Here's the lyrics from Jesse J's Price Tag.
Seems is it like Jesse IE?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Seems like everybody's got a price. I wonder how they sleep at night. When the sale comes first and the truth comes second, just stop for a minute and smile. Why is everybody so serious? Acting so damn serious. Got shades on your eyes and your heels so high that you can't even have a good time. Everybody look to their left. Everybody look to their right. Can you feel that? Yeah. We're paying with love tonight. I think she's pretty hot,
I can't hate on her because she wrote Party in the USA. That's a catchy pop tune.
Jesse J wrote that, even though that was Miley Cyrus's hit?
Yes, that's a catchy pop tune.
Okay, very good.
It's a great fucking pop tune. Men over 40 are like, no, it's a great fucking pop tune. Shut up.
All right, give me a minute on the NBA Finals and on Draymond Green.
I like, well, again, I'm not a stan for the Warriors. I just appreciate what they do. And I was talking to our friend Mark Stern, who is a diehard Celtics fan, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And after game one, before game one, I said, the Celtics, their wins or losses can be captured by one category. If Marcus Smart has more than 10 to 12 shots, because Marcus Smart is the king of irrational confidence. If he starts shooting, he's that guy, get on my back, boys. And he's not making. And the first game, he had like 8 shots.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, I'm looking real. I had 8 shots before the half.
I had a number of listeners tag me saying, at Cold Takes Exposed, Freezing Cold Takes Exposed. They wanted to string you up by that one.
Oh, what, my Marcus Smart?
Yeah, because you were wrong in game one. He shot a lot, and they won.
Well, as I said, I was wrong on that. I was actually, he then started to pass the ball to Jaylen Brown. So, again, I think it's going 7. I don't know how it's going to end up.
Okay.
But I think it's going 7.
What about the Steve Javy explanation about how you need to adjust technicals based on who already has one, and whether or not it will get him kicked out of the game? Here was Javy with Mark Jones and company on game two.
The two guys are going after each other. Jeff, I think you hit the nail on the head, and Mark too. Mark Jackson, you hit the nail on the head where you have to consider one player has definitely a technical foul. Is this enough to call a double T and eject the one player? Personally, I would say nothing, and I would just let it diffuse as that. That's just my opinion.
Well, Steve, my question to you is, as a referee over there in the huddle, are you thinking about the fact that Draymond has one technical already?
Absolutely. I think that's part of good officiating is the fact that you have to know who has the technical fouls. And in this situation, one of the players does. Is this enough to warrant an ejection is what you have to think about.
See, a lot of people disagree with that, Steve, but yeah. I think that's what separates.
After the defensive foul on Green stands, there's no further penalties on this.
All right, there you go, and it cuts out. Yeah. Your thoughts.
Attack is attack.
Thank you. I hate that.
What's the point?
Yeah, because it all it does is it encourages. Like, after the first tech, Draymond was playing like offensive lineman. Just, you know, he plowed it like three guys on one play away from the ball. It's like, it's ridiculous. But it's only like, Draymond gets to do that, I guess.
It's like people who didn't believe that Dick Bavetta, was the henchman.
And yeah, it was the fixer. Like, was the Game 7 Dr. Death.
Yes, when you saw Bavetta, it was over for the team. Yeah. So, I think that's bull.
All right. We're going to end today, Jay, not on FTG.
Good, because I don't have one.
Good. We're going to end on the killer bump out song of the day. This one, the great Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf. From Birmingham, England, 1978. Simon Le Bon, Nick Rhodes, John Taylor, Roger Taylor. This
Andy
song.
Taylor.
Yes, exactly.
Andy Taylor
as well. This song reached number 5 on the UK singles chart, got gold certification by the British Phonographic Industry, and the music video for this was hugely popular on MTV and was put into heavy rotation. Fucking Duran. Good stuff.
Next week I have a something we can do because we're getting in the doldrums of the sports calendar.
Well, that's right. We can do a cool song to bump out with. I thought you'd appreciate.
Well, no.
Hungry Like the Wolf.
A couple people have hit me on Twitter about your and I love for Yacht Rock. I think we should have a 10 song Yacht Rock playlist on Spotify or Pandora or
the
something.
Best 10. You pick 5. I pick 5.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
yeah.
We'll do it. We'll do it like a basketball game. I'll get my best 5. You get your best 5.
Yes.
And we'll reveal. And if there's any duplicates, we'll have a bench of like 3 or 4 bench players. All right.
Yes.
And
there
then we'll defend our best 5, argue for them, and see what the listeners think. Who wins?
I love at least 3 people hit me, were up in my DMs about the Yacht Rock.
All right. Very good. Jay, look out for the monkeypox. We're elevated to stage 2 now of alert for monkeypox, says the CDC. Okay?
Okay.
Just stay wary of that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Generally, it's spread by homosexual sex. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know. Who knows if you may rub up into some monkeypox. Make sure to wash your hands frequently and maintain social distance. All right, Jay, we'll talk to you next week, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. It's a great sort of bridge section to this song right here. All right. Thank you for listening and for downloading. Tomorrow, Power Lunch at the Palm. Carol Maloney, the ex-coach Naki, and former Wizards play-by-play man Steve Buckhands all together. It's going to be a hoot. Stay tuned for that tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Spread the word, rate and review, tell a friend or two, and we will see you next time.
162 games of baseball a season can feel like a grind to watch, but you can put the excitement back into each and every game with MyBookie. Run lines, money lines, props galore. Nobody gives you more opportunities to win than MyBookie. Getting started is simple. Deposit $300 and play with $200 instantly. Just use promo code ZABE to claim a MyBookie deposit bonus. Whether you're a diehard fan or a newcomer to the sport, there's never been a better time to join the MyBookie family. Go ahead and sign up today using promo code ZABE to secure your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 with MyBookie. Whatever you put in, they'll meet halfway, all the way up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.com.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.